The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect that of the staff and management of Good Karma Brands, but are the sole responsibility of the host and guests of this particular show.
America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country. Yes, sir. Until a nation comes to terms with our problems.
Bringing you social and political commentary from his mouth to your ears. Breaking down the issues which matter to you.
You are not put here to be a white man's footstool. You are put here to represent the very best in God's word.
Legendary civil rights icon, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the studio. Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Mr. Reverend, good morning on this chilly Milwaukee morning.
And I am pleased to have one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, Chairman Bobby Seale. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
To Mr. Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, so good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, man. How you been? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you for a while.
The Dr. Cornell West. Dr. West, how are you, sir?
My dear brother, you're so kind. You're so generous. So, man, but I salute you and the work that you were doing there. Doing a magnificent job there in Wisconsin.
Stream live on 1017thetruth.com. Call in with your questions or comments. 833-212-1017. Join us on social media at 1017thetruth. It may not be what you expect to hear, but I will definitely give you what you need to know. Are you ready for the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Sherwin Hughes.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday, August 12, 2020. Was my mic on? Okay. Monday, August 12, 2024. So tomorrow is Election Day. And we have had a couple of conversations about the two referendums you're going to see. There's going to be quite a bit more on tomorrow's ballot than I originally anticipated. So a couple of things. It is a partisan primary, meaning if you are going to vote for, say, Tammy Baldwin, who doesn't have a Democratic challenger, or Congresswoman Gwen Moore, who doesn't have a Democratic challenger, or LaTanya Johnson, if you live in the 6th Senate District. Now, if you live in the 4th Senate District, you are going to see a Democratic primary, and that is between State Assemblywoman Lakeisha Myers and current incumbent 4th District State Senator Dora Drake. Dora Drake is being challenged by Lakeisha Myers. So if you live in the 4th District, you're going to see those. But there are other partisan races on your ballot if you live in Milwaukee County, and I want to talk about those. If you are voting for Eric Hovde or any one of his Republican opponents, and quite honestly, I didn't even know that Eric Hovde had other Republicans vying for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. You can only vote for one party. So you can't vote for Gwen Moore, even though she doesn't have an opponent. You can't vote for Tammy Baldwin, even though she doesn't have an opponent, and cast a vote in the Republican primary in which Eric Hovde is running for the U.S. Senate. And there are also Republicans who are vying for the nomination for the House of Representatives. A couple of them are challenging Gwen Moore. Whoever those Republicans are in the U.S. Senate race, whoever gets the most votes will challenge the Democrat Tammy Baldwin. And whoever gets the most votes in the Republican primary for the House of Representatives will challenge Gwen Moore. Gwen Moore likely is very safe the way the district is cut, the 4th Congressional District. Extremely difficult for a Republican to get any traction. Do want to talk about the different referenda, but then a couple of other offices you may see on your ballot tomorrow. And we didn't talk much about these. So are you guys familiar with the district attorney? I know that they're oftentimes called the prosecutor. Each of Wisconsin's 72 counties has a district attorney, and what they do is they prosecute violations of state crime. Since 2006, our prosecutor or district attorney has been John Chisholm. Prior to John Chisholm, some of you may remember, a guy named E. Michael McCann, who served from 1969 up until the year 2006. We don't change DAs very often. In 2016, John Chisholm. He's had a couple of challengers, John Chisholm. The other thing about the district attorney, it's a partisan position. I wish that it wasn't. John Chisholm, just like E. Michael McCann before him, they run as Democrats. When it comes to prosecuting violations of state law, I am not sure how partisanship is involved in that, but that is how our state constitution is written. Also, another position that you're not going to see on the ballot tomorrow, Milwaukee County Sheriff, as you know, is a partisan position as well. I personally do not think that it should be. However, I digress. All right, so John Chisholm, who has been well-liked, if not loved, by the Democratic Party establishment in Milwaukee County, because I'm sure, as a person, he probably is a Democrat. I wouldn't doubt that one bit. So he runs as a Democrat in a county that is strongly Democratic. Now, there have been some reasonable challenges to his record. There's been a number of occasions where people have been harmed by, as an example, the police or by vigilantes. And for whatever reason, John Chisholm has been very strategic over his career to not charge police officers. There's certainly a racial disparity in what police officers he has charged. Because I don't know if you guys know this. The police can actually violate the law. That's a real thing. And when they do violate the law, they should be charged for violations of state law like any other person who lives and operates in Milwaukee County. But there has been a resistance or a reluctance to charge certain police officers during John Chisholm's tenure. And maybe because there is a relationship. I think it's incestuous between the police officers who make the arrests, who collect the evidence, provide the arrest information and the evidence to the prosecutor in order for the prosecutor to make a charging decision. Okay? If the prosecutor has information and evidence that a police officer violated state law, well, then the prosecutor, John Chisholm, our district attorney, should, like he would in any other case, take that evidence and file charges against those police officers. But here is where it gets kind of tricky. If the Milwaukee Police Department, who are called to scenes, they investigate scenes, they collect evidence, they provide that information to the district attorney so that he can make a charging decision. But if those police officers feel that that same district attorney may charge them with crimes, then that relationship gets frayed, because if it wasn't for the police who were called to the scene to do the interviews, to collect the forensic evidence, then charging decisions may get altered. So they have to have a relationship. But at the same time, the district attorney needs to be able to charge police officers when they violate laws. There are a couple of notable scenarios over the years. One of them was Dontre Hamilton. And there have been a number of others where the public, Corey Stingley is another one as well. He actually was a 16-year-old child who was held down by vigilantes after he was caught shoplifting at a store in West Dallas. Those men, white, Corey Stingley, black, were not charged in the death of Corey Stingley, a promising athlete and honor student who was only, again, 16 years old. However, if you look at the situation at the Hyatt Hotel, those men were charged, but Corey Stingley's killers were not. Very similar situations, actually. In fact, I would argue that the Corey Stingley situation was probably worse, and those men should have been charged, but they weren't. So there's been a lot of inconsistent charging decisions on cases that has risen to the public's attention, especially the African-American community, since John Chisholm has been in office. There was a woman, an African-American woman, but she's still alive. Verona Swanigan is her name. In fact, she comes from a family of police officers. She is an African-American attorney. She is practicing law in a number of different states. She has passed the bar here in Wisconsin. She's practiced law in California, arguably the toughest state to practice law in because the California bar is a monster. She also has practiced law in the state of Arkansas. She, Verona Swanigan, born, raised here in Milwaukee, has a police officer, a well-respected police officer father decided that she wanted to run for district attorney in 2016 because she didn't believe that some of the decisions coming out of John Chisholm's office were fair and impartial when it came to especially cases that rose to the public's attention. And so there was some excitement around her campaign because we have an African-American woman who was seeking to run for district attorney. It would have just completely changed the landscape of that office, because the thing about the DA's office, it's how do I even describe it? It's a good old boys network. In fact, the reason why John Chisholm was selected by E. Michael McCain, who was a longtime district attorney from 1969 until 2006, because E. Michael McCain operated in a particular way. E. Michael McCain was Catholic. And one thing that E. Michael McCain did not do in his tenure, and it's known and it's noted, now I'm not the first one that has discussed this, he didn't charge cops, even when there were egregious violations of the law and of people's rights. E. Michael McCain was just known for giving a tremendous amount of deference to police behavior. And imagine some of the incidents that have taken place in the city of Milwaukee between 1969 and 2006. There has been unrest. There have been a number of officer-involved killings where the public just assumed that those officers who were involved in those killings would be charged. E. Michael McCain, in a lot of cases, simply refused. But there was something else that needs to be noted about E. Michael McCain. He didn't charge pedophile priests, some of whom admitted to their crimes. E. Michael McCain, a Catholic, just didn't see it in the best interest of the church, the Catholic religion, or the archdiocese to charge Catholic priests. I still have a boggled mind over that, because one of the major talking points of conservatives is all of this unchecked pedophilia. And pedophiles are everywhere, and they're in the schools, and they're working at Disneyland, and they really have that as one of their agenda items, to crack down on pedophilia, as you probably should. But when there is evidence that a man of the cloth has committed such an egregious violent crime against the child, they don't get charged. So when E. Michael McCain was considering his successor, because when you've been DA for that long in this city, you get to name your successor, you pick who you want to run in your stead, you endorse them, you help them raise money, you connect them with all of the right people, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody really knew who John Chisholm was. He was just like an average, regular old assistant district attorney working in the office. But because John Chisholm agreed to follow suit of his predecessor, E. Michael McCain, you don't charge cops, you don't charge pedophile priests. John Chisholm was like, cool, I can do that. He then was named as E. Michael McCain's successor. Now, John Chisholm is retiring, no longer running for re-election, so there's an opportunity for the people in Milwaukee County to have a different district attorney, maybe with a different perspective, maybe who looks at the past with a new set of eyes and saying, you know what, some of the things that have been allowed in Milwaukee County by those in authority, those with power, we should look at them like we look at anybody else when they break the law. I was under the impression that there would be a healthy Democratic primary for district attorney in Milwaukee County. There is not. There is no Republican running, and there are no other Democrats who were challenging a gentleman by the name of Kent Lovern. He, again, was an assistant district attorney in the Milwaukee County DA's office, or prosecutor's office, for a long period of time. See, these are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. They're just essentially handing the torch off to one another. Problematic, to say the least, but maybe it also speaks to something much larger. When we have an opportunity to elect new people to positions that have just been a part of this old, stagnant institution in Milwaukee, just completely immobile, just stuck in the old ways, we don't have the people, or we don't have the motivation, or maybe people are afraid to challenge the political establishment. Probably all of the above. So we're going to take a break, come back, continue talking about what you were going to see on your ballot tomorrow. I'm going to encourage everybody to go and vote. Also, it can be a litmus test for what is going to happen in November. I still think that that election is going to be exceptionally unpredictable. In the, I believe it was the July 2nd primary for the 4th Senate District, there were some irregularities. There were some people who were from out of town. They weren't from Milwaukee, that were at polling locations, and they were challenging people's registration, and they were very disruptive. And this was in a single state Senate district primary election on July 2nd, which is a very low turnout election. But it seemed like they were running their script of what they, the Republicans, the conservatives, the Trump supporters who believe that the election is not going to be fair. They ran a dress rehearsal on July 2nd. So I'm encouraging everyone who has not voted early or by mail to go and cast your ballot tomorrow, Tuesday, August 13th. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to give you some more details about what you're going to see on your ballot tomorrow, including some more discussion about the two constitutional referendum that you're going to see. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Al has, not that Al, I think a different Al. In fact, I know it's a different Al. Has a couple of questions that he texted in at 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. First question is, can you explain partisanism in a political realm? What does it mean? So, and I refer to that term a lot. So partisan means it's affiliated with a political party, one or the other. So if there is a budget, and we're going to talk about the city budget, which I need to dedicate some real time to it, because we have seen referendum after referendum asking city of Milwaukee taxpayers and homeowners specifically for more money for a variety of things. The school, MPS, the Milwaukee Public School System, had just asked for and received via your vote a $252 million increase in property taxes to better fund the schools. In April of 2020, the district asked for $87 million for essentially the same thing. When you create a budget, Democrats have different funding priorities. I probably can make it easier to explain if I look at the national level. So Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to protect a woman's right to choose, and they want to make sure that wealthier individuals, millionaires and billionaires, pay their, quote, fair share in taxes. Because when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense that someone who makes $50,000 a year technically has a higher tax rate, percentage rate, than someone who has a net worth of $4 billion. So Democrats seek to receive funds to assist, let's say, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, making sure that we have those programs for individuals that qualify for them. And so the Democrats proceed with those things in mind. Republicans have a whole different idea. They may want to privatize Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They believe the taxes for wealthy people should get cut because, well, they pay too many taxes as it is. And they fool the American public into believing that if very wealthy people pay less taxes, they then will, A, spend more money, therefore fueling the economy, creating more jobs, or they will create jobs themselves. And we have known this to be false for more than 40 years. Why people who are barely making it, interest rates are high, inflation is still way higher than it needs to be, why they believe it is okay for someone who makes infinitely more money than them to pay a lower tax rate still just blows me away. I think a lot of folks in America think that they're rich people, but temporarily poor. or you're temporarily middle class. Like, one day you're going to be rich too. You're just not rich yet. You haven't won the lottery yet. You haven't gotten your dream job yet. And so we may not want, and I say we as in a collective we, like, why more people aren't upset that people who are exceptionally wealthy are paying smaller percentages in taxes. In fact, if wealthy people paid anywhere close to what middle income and lower income people pay in taxes, the lower income people wouldn't need to pay taxes at all. Middle income people wouldn't need to pay any kind of taxes at all. But because the wealthy pay so little, as that's a part of the Republican, a very partisan platform. Partisan just refers to the priorities of one political party versus another and how they proceed with their political agenda. So I do refer to that term quite a bit because, I mean, you guys know, I'm sure, you pay a little bit of attention. Democrats and Republicans see the world very, very differently. And their funding priorities and the budgets in which they create and what they prioritize for this nation, for the states, because the state of Wisconsin has a budget writing committee that consists of state assembly members and state senators, their priorities are very different. We would say here in the city of Milwaukee, we need to invest in job creation, job placement, job training. We probably should have more opportunities in trade schools and technical schools for vocational education. Republicans don't necessarily see that. We should have free public university education. The Republicans on the other side do not want to allocate money to public university education because they've been following the same script since Ronald Reagan was governor of California. College educated people are much more likely to be liberal. So Republicans essentially want to get rid of the national or the federal Department of Education and want to take away as much state funding from higher education as possible. Again, makes no sense to me, but also you see the rise in minority enrollments in colleges, and it's a formula that you need to follow if you want to be able to look at American politics for what it is, not what it should be. If there are things that can benefit minorities, including American citizenship, if that benefits minorities, Republicans are against it. If there is something that can help African-Americans in particular, but minorities in general, become healthier or have low-cost or no-cost healthcare prescription drugs, Republicans are going to be against it for absolutely everybody. If more people of color and minorities and more women are enrolling themselves in higher education and in college, and they're much more likely to vote for Democrats or be liberal, then Republicans are going to be against publicly funding higher education. So that kind of follows in their partisan thinking. If it helps minorities, they want to cut it. Now, they are also, unfortunately, Republicans, as we're talking about partisanship, are ruled by really horrible stereotypes. There is a perception that the majority of the people who qualify for public benefits, food stamps as an example at the federal level. I know states also administer a variety of different programs for those who qualify based upon their income, family size, et cetera. Well, there's this fallacy that food stamp benefits disproportionately go to African Americans when that is absolutely not the case. There are more Caucasian people that are receiving some sort of public assistance or federal assistance, state assistance, local assistance, rent assistance, energy assistance, a whole bunch of different assistances than there are black people. But there's a stereotype that, well, we're going to cut SNAP benefits because they always throw that into the farm bill. How much money are we going to allocate for people that cannot afford to feed themselves and their family? And because there's a stereotype that black people are poor and just living off the government, the Republicans always try and cut the food stamp benefits because they think they're going to starve black people, when in fact they're actually starving everybody. More importantly, the reason why we have such benefits is not necessarily for the parents. We don't like when children are in poverty because, remember, children can't work. And if a child is in poverty, we know what kind of great damage that can do to that child. So those benefits are available mostly for children. Now, the parents, of course, have to apply. But if you have a number of children and if your income is at a low level, the government says, hey, food's expensive. You got to eat. So do your kids. We don't want your kids to be starving. Here are benefits that you qualify for. And I think it makes it difficult for just regular, average, everyday Americans to go to work every day, take care of their responsibilities. they just don't understand why there's so much arguing, disagreement, and bickering over issues that we all should be on the same page about. But because of partisanship, the Republicans have different priorities. But a good way to just guide yourself, and also those folks that say, well, you know, it was the Democrats that were the party of segregation and slavery. Absolutely. But now it's the Democrats that are the party of protecting a society, especially our most vulnerable members. So I hope that answers your question. Al also had a question about, what was the other one, Al? Partisanism, and can you explain criticism in a political realm, and what does that mean? That could be a bunch of different things, Al. Parties are critical of one another because they don't like how they do business. And if they cannot work together, they blame the other side. And again, it hurts average everyday people. So an example would be this. If I ran for office, which I assure you I am not going to do, zero interest. There's only one really unusual scenario in which I would even consider it. And even then, it'd be pretty much a long shot. If I said, and this is my campaign, or somebody else's campaign, let me not use myself as an example. I want to work with the Republicans so that we can remove the lead laterals from the underground infrastructure in Milwaukee. I want to work with Republicans to find a common sense way in which we can provide low cost or no cost prescription drugs, first for those who are most in need and then for everybody else. I want to work with Republicans to make sure that we have a tax plan that is suitable for everybody, that meets the budgetary needs of the city, the county, and the state. I would never get elected. I would never get elected saying that I would work with the other party, because hardcore Democratic primary voters think Republicans are so evil that someone who is even willing to work with them or talk with them or meet with them, even if it's for the purpose of creating policy that helps everybody, I wouldn't get elected by Democrats. And the Republicans, while they may like to hear a Democrat say, oh, we're going to work with the Republicans, they wouldn't work with me either. Because if they did, they would be seen as not pure enough. Believe it or not, there was a period of time in which those of us that are Democrats could have reasonable policy conversations with Republicans. That day is over. In fact, I can't name a single Republican, especially in the Wisconsin state legislature, that has made it abundantly clear or made it a part of their reelection campaign that, you know what, I will work with these Democrats so that we can get things done, so we can move Wisconsin forward, so we can be more competitive than the Michigans and the Illinois and the Iowas and the Minnesota. Let's all work together, regardless of partisan affiliation, in Wisconsin so we can be more competitive. They simply won't do it. They just won't do it because they're afraid that if they're seen with working with the other party, that the loyal, faithful people of their party will elect someone who won't work with the other side. So essentially, it's a mini civil war that goes on in every legislature around the country, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Al, I hope that answers your questions. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
back to the program. Let's talk about this election, shall we? So tomorrow, Tuesday, August 13th, there's a primary election. It's a partisan primary, meaning if you plan to vote for any Democrats, you have to vote for only Democrats, even though you're going to see some Republicans on your ballot. We did talk for a little while about the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, where I thought it would have been much more competitive. There would have been other people that did not like the time and the tenure of John Chisholm, or did not like the time and the tenure enough to want to run to be our Milwaukee County prosecutor. But John Chisholm is not going to have. Well, he's not running again. And his successor, a guy named Kent Lovarin, who I've met a couple of times in passing, seems like a nice guy. But I don't know how he is going to select cases that need to be prosecuted versus not prosecuting at all, not charging at all, deferred prosecution, et cetera, because we got to try and figure this thing out. Because I have seen, I don't know if it's an uptick in crime, but very consistently, there is like a homicide a day, whether it be via gun or vehicle. There was a hit and run on Water Street over the weekend. Reckless driving, we would agree, is out of control. And so I've never spoken to the incoming district attorney, Kent Lovarin, about his perspectives on reckless driving. I suppose I should chat with him at some point because he is going to be the next district attorney. But, yeah, not sure. I just know that he is a protege of John Chisholm, who was a protege of E. Michael McCann. So things have not and will not change much in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. Let me pull up a sample ballot here and go through some of these partisan offices. Most of them do not have opponents. So the first one you're going to see, this is anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, so anyone who is listening, even outside of Milwaukee, you're going to see this is a partisan primary election. You may only vote within one political party. You will be able to vote in nonpartisan. You will be able to vote nonpartisan contests. Okay. So, if you're going to vote for Tammy Baldwin, you got to vote for nothing but Democrats in partisan contests. Tammy Baldwin has no opponent, so you're going to see Tammy Baldwin's name, and you're going to see write-in, and then you're going to see representative for Congress in the 4th District. If you live in the 4th Congressional District, that means Gwen Moore is your congresswoman. You're only going to see her name. No other Democratic opponent. If you live in the 4th Senate District, or really any of the Senate districts, most of them do not have any opponents. But if you live in the 4th, you're going to see Lakeisha Myers. You're going to see Dora Drake. Dora Drake, FYI, is the current incumbent 4th District State Senator. You may see assembly races. If you live in the 19th Assembly District, which is an east side, but downtown, east of the river, south to Bayview, I think pieces of the St. Francis and the Cudahy, you will see a Democratic primary. The incumbent, Ryan Clancy, versus Jared Anderson. You all should know that Ryan Clancy is very much a communist socialist and even was arrested during anti-Israel protests on the UW-Milwaukee campus. Something else about Ryan Clancy that I didn't know that you could do. He's also a county board supervisor. I don't care for that. It's legal. Because technically, if you're a county board supervisor, basically a legislator from Milwaukee County, it's a part-time job. I don't know. How many years ago was that when we decided via referendum we were going to cut all county board supervisors to part-time and cut their salaries to, they used to make like 50 grand a year. County supervisors did. Decent little job. Now they make $24,000 a year, and I think they get health insurance. So technically, it's a part-time job, even though if you're a legislator and you are doing your job adequately, it is full time. It's all the time. It's all the time. You got to be answering the phone and responding to emails and going to different events and looking after your constituents and taking care of their concerns. You should be doing town hall meetings. You should be engaging folks. You still should be knocking on doors, asking your constituents what issues are you should be focused on. But we made the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors a part-time position. So Ryan Clancy is both a county supervisor and a representative of the 19th Assembly District, meaning taxpayers are paying him not one time, but two time. And I think he gets a pension for both. So if you live in the 19th Assembly District, you certainly will see those two candidates on your ballot. Milwaukee County District Attorney Kent Lovern, running as a Democrat. He has no Democratic opponent. I'm really troubled by that. This goes back to a conversation I had last week and probably the week before about wanting to have a campaign training school. We had one in Milwaukee in 2013 where a number of people that participate. It's like a it was an all day like class where you learn all the different parts of a political campaign, from how do you message, how do you work with the media, how do you raise money, how do you report the money that you raise, because campaign finance is a very, very big deal. If you're a candidate for office and you don't know anything about campaign finance reporting and you mess up and spend money that you're not supposed to, money that is allocated for the campaign, you literally go to jail for that. And I think if more people knew all of the details of how you run for office successfully, more people would consider running. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when you hear people talk about political campaigns, you'll know the details in which they speak. So those of you that played sports in high school, fellas, if you played football, ladies, if you played the basketball or the soccer, or you played the tennis or whatever you may have played, because you actually played that sport, when you watch those sports on television, you have a different understanding of the rules, what you can do, what you can't do, penalties and fouls and that kind of stuff, because you actually played. Most people, when it comes to politics, have never run for office before, so they don't know all of the intricate details and all the tactics that are used. So people on the outside looking in may not be able to thoroughly understand what they are seeing in these campaigns. As I look at, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz's campaign, which is a clinic in how you get organized in a very short period of time, I know exactly what they're doing. Have you guys noticed, for those of you that are paying attention, here's an example. Kamala Harris says the same thing all of the time. It's called being on message. As many times as she has said, I was a prosecutor and I was a district attorney, I've seen Donald Trump's type before, right? She says that over and over and over again because that is a tried and true way of how you repeat the same message so every new person that is listening or paying attention to her hears the exact same thing. That is very much on purpose. So I recognize that. Some of you may think she doesn't have anything else to say. No, that's actually a part of the campaign strategy, because even though a lot of us have been paying attention to what Kamala Harris says when she gives her stump speech, every single day somebody new is tuning in, so she's got to say the same thing that we've already heard 50,000 a million times. But we just don't have a very deep bench in Milwaukee of people that are qualified and ready to run for office. And I think that we need representation here now more than ever. You're going to see Milwaukee County Clerk, if you live in the Milwaukee County, George Christensen, running as a Democrat. He has no opponent. Milwaukee County Treasurer, interesting one here. There is a Democratic primary. So the current incumbent, a guy named David Cullen, who's the treasurer for Milwaukee County. Again, why that is a partisan position, don't know. But a guy named Ted Chisholm, who is, ironically, John Chisholm, the current district attorney's son. Ted Chisholm, who you may know as he was the campaign manager when Ernell Lucas ran for Milwaukee County Sheriff in 2018. Ted Chisholm was maybe 20 years old when he ran the sheriff's campaign. He then had a $90,000 a year job that the sheriff at the time, Ernell Lucas, gave Ted Chisholm. Now Ted Chisholm is running countywide as a Democrat for the Milwaukee County Treasurer position. I'd imagine he's doing that for a couple of reasons. Capitalizing off of his last namesake, which is the same as the current district attorney. But Ted Chisholm, who I'm sure is very politically ambitious in his own right, might be running for higher office at some point in the future. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We are previewing tomorrow's August 13th primary election. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
if you were voting for a Republican tomorrow because you like the Eric Hovde. I think Eric Hovde looks like the construction worker and the Village People. You can't tell me any different. And there's nothing wrong with looking like the construction worker and the Village People. Everybody loves the song YMCA. They play it. People do the dance. There are two other Republicans who are running for U.S. Senate in the state of Wisconsin. Eric Hovde is the most well-known, a guy named Charles E. Barman, and Rajani Ravindran is also running. Don't know who that fella is, but then again, I'm not a Republican. There are two Republicans running for the 4th Congressional District. The winner in this Republican primary, which you'll see on your ballot tomorrow if you live in the 4th Congressional District, will face off against Gwen Moore on November 5th and get beat by Gwen Moore on November 5th. The Republicans have been trying to win the congressional seat here in southeastern Wisconsin, the 4th Congressional District, where Gwen Moore has been representing us since 2004. They don't even get close. If you live in any of the surrounding Senate districts, except for the 4th State Senate District, you're not going to see any Republicans. Assembly races, talked about the 19th Assembly race. You got the Milwaukee County District Attorney, no Republican running. Milwaukee County Clerk, no Republican running. Milwaukee County Treasurer, no Republican running. Do you see how no Republicans run in Milwaukee County for these positions because they just can't get enough votes because Milwaukee County is a very Democratic voting county? I'd imagine our neighbors to the north, northwest, and west would agree because those are some of the most Republican voting counties. So if you went to like Ozaukee County, it's going to have like no Democrats running for those positions, but then all unchallenged Republicans. Very unusual how our partisanship affects geography here in southeastern Wisconsin. Register of Deeds, no Republican, U.S. Senator, and they got the other parties on here, Constitution Party. What's another one? The Green Party. Third parties, just they don't work. We could have a discussion about third parties at some point, if you guys think that that is the solution to the partisanship that exists right now, it's not. And I know that we like choice, and I did a whole, you know, these vignettes we do, we call them truth takes, these 2-minute rants that we, all of the hosts here do. I did my previous truth take about you only have two choices in this election. There's only two major political parties in this country, and for like 85% of the people in this country, policy initiatives that they want to see are accomplished through one party or the other. They just are. But there's always a segment of people that think, oh, we need a new political party. Yeah, but they don't do very well because you're still competing with 80% of the people that are either Democrats or Republicans. It's probably more than that. Every now and again, there'll be not independents, but they don't really do well. So an example would be, let's say we didn't vote for either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris and some third party candidate. Third party candidates are like RFK Jr. This is the guy that he had a worm in his head. You guys hear the latest thing about him? He found a dead bear. Him and some of his friends got drunk. I'm not making this up. This is the guy who's running for president as an independent, Robert Kennedy Jr. He's also used to be a heroin person. Not that I want to use that against him, but it's not a good idea because I would hate for him to break into the U.S. Treasury and see a whole bunch of money and decide he wants to get high again. And I'm not saying that he would. Let's just not take the chance. Like, this is America. We got to make sure that, you know, people are sober. So he found a dead bear. And they put him and some friends loaded up a dead bear. I don't know where they found a dead bear. He might have killed the dead bear. This is Robert Kennedy, and he admitted this and confessed this on camera to Roseanne Barr. It was a really weird video recorded conversation that he released on the internet. Real weird. But this is what third party candidates are. So he finds a dead bear somewhere. They take it to Central Park in New York, and then they also found a bicycle. And they had the dead bear, and they put it near the bicycle because he says what he says to Roseanne Barr. He wanted people to think that the bear died in a bicycle accident. And this guy's running for president as a third party candidate. So you see what I mean? Like, that's the kind of people that you get when you get third parties. And if at some point in the future we get a different third party candidate, the overwhelming majority of people who are in Congress and the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate are Democrats or Republicans, so a third-party candidate would not have political support from the legislative branch. The truth was sure when he was to be back for hour two.